down, I was working, we were working such a high intensity with the boys' sides that might have not just been there at the time because the game was still growing and learning in the women's game. So that was probably the biggest challenge, adapting and getting people to buy into myself and the way I worked as a coach, but also getting used to the speed of the game and the differences in terms of the physical side of the game more than anything, because I work with some top players at Everton in the women's game who were technically very, very, very good. But the speed of the game and the physical side was probably what differed slightly.
Tell us about session design and stuff like that in terms of, what the sort of things you're delivering there on the girl side, and tell us about your progression as a coach, in terms of what you're putting out on the pitch.
Yeah, so more around the session design, it was obviously Andy was the manager at the time, and we obviously had a real good relationship, and it was important that he knew my strengths, I knew his. I'm really hands-on and like to be on the pitch delivering, more than sitting in an office doing anything. But I'm very thorough when I plan, making sure that we got the right detail in, we were coaching the right concepts that we wanted around the philosophy of the club and the values of it. So more around the practice design, we designed a lot of the way we try to program things. We do a lot of technical-based work, so at the start of a session, just trying to implement and refine and just more tune up in terms of technical proficiency with the ball. But always linking that to the main theme, what we were looking at, but also the individual needs of those players. So looking at the individual players, even at that level, so all in terms of elite football and the women's game, they're still working towards ILOs, making sure that we can achieve them and we can make them better individuals and better players. But the sessions, and we look to do a lot of technical work at the start of a session for a good block of 20 minutes. And that might have been with passive pressure at times, or that could be completely unopposed. Which I know there's obviously debates between if it's good to do it unopposed or not. But then we looked a lot into a more dual stuff then. So we do 15, 20 minutes of technical base work. We go into duels, which we do if it was 1v1, 2v2. But we'd always look at, we always have a week where we don't overload or underload. So we'd always get that kind of, that bit of a grey gap that people don't always coach, where we always go sometimes, we always match people up. And then the main theme would come in around whatever it was we were looking at towards a game week, or what concepts we were looking to bring out for a certain game, but also mainly focusing on what the philosophy of the club was and how we had to get those concepts and beliefs out into the players.
So you mentioned ILOs there. What's that, independent learning
So the independent
objective?
learning objectives, we always had them for players when we were there, because when I was at Everton, so the group was still relatively young as a first team. We had a lot of 16, 17, 18-year-old players with probably a handful of experienced players, if you want to call it, but they weren't experienced players in terms of age. They're experiencing players because they come into that first team environment so young. But we also always had the ILOs for those players, because I don't think anyone stops learning. And that was a good mindset that Andy had, that he always wanted to make sure that these players could grow. If you were 28, 29, you were still growing as a player.
But that's quite interesting, isn't it? The like performance and the potential sort of, the environments. So you're carrying that over from your work in the academy. So I mentioned, how would that work then, with your first team players? How often would you set the ILOs, and how was that process involved?
So we usually set them around 6 to 8 weeks, every 6 to 8 weeks. And if that was that, we'd set someone saw three or four ILOs and they hadn't really probably hit where we wanted them to hit with one of them, we could leave it on, because the player needs to still develop that area. But every 6 to 8 weeks, me and Andy would sit down with the players, we'd block out time, and mainly even being on, so it was over international break. We would have more time. Obviously, some players would be away, and we catch up with them on obviously their return to the club. But it was more around how we could develop them as an individual, as a person, which was massive at Everton. How you can develop them as a person as well as a player. So looking at a lot of their technical areas, the tactical areas, obviously, because that was around performance at the elite level. But also then, what can we do in terms of to help them from an MDT in terms of physical, social, psychological parts of the game, which is huge in terms of confidence, self-esteem. So yeah, we've done that every 6 to 8 weeks and tried to build that into our session plan and our design then in training. So as we know, a lot of sessions when you deliver at academy level or you're delivering at an elite level, your session is designed around your performance or your opposition, or is designed around your game model and how you're going to produce that. And what we tried to do a lot of at Everton was put in place sessions that help the individual grow and met the individual needs and ILOs as much as we could it wouldn't hit everyone's, don't get me wrong, but I think everyone within the sessions we tried to do, because it was such a young group, we'd still try and get a lot of individual learning, which was important. But that comes all, if I'm being honest, a lot of that ILO stuff, we've done lots of unit work, which I don't think you see a lot of in terms of our elite level all the time. You probably won't see a lot of unit work. But we've done a lot of that in terms of unit works, two units coming together or single units working together. That was more to get small details in, but it all always benefited the individual for me.
Interesting. And you mentioned the club philosophy. So tell us about the club philosophy. And was that linked to the men's team or the academy, or what? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So the women's philosophy it's a one club philosophy. So whatever the club philosophy is, Everton Football Club, that's what the club philosophy is. They were the same values and beliefs. And we made sure that underpinned in everything we done. So from top to bottom, how we wanted to achieve things, what we wanted to do, had to be underpinned by that philosophy. But the players, when we were there, lived and breathed that, because they knew what Everton meant as a club and they knew what Everton meant as a team. It underpins, no matter if it's men or women, it was a one club philosophy, and that was driven obviously by us as staff. But it underpinned